For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And it's a good crowd here today. Thank you for being here. Amen. Somebody said it might rain today. Amen. Among other things. Matthew chapter 14. And to those of you that have been out, welcome back to the land of the living. And glad you're feeling better. And Lord bless each one of you. Praise the Lord. All right. And join us for tonight's service. Tonight's service will be online. And I'll be preaching a message tonight on the subject, there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. And it will not be live, but it will be about 24 hours old. I preached it yesterday evening. And so it's still pretty fresh. And so join us tonight online. We'll have no on-site services here tonight, but join us online, Facebook, YouTube, however you access our online services. I want to speak this morning on finding Jesus in the storm. Finding Jesus in the storm in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I want to begin reading in verse 22. These are familiar verses to you that know the Gospels well. But it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." And this was not a ship like we would think of a ship, but it was probably about an 18-foot wooden fishing vessel. Still a sizable boat. But he constrained them to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he'd sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, verse 24, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." They cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, and I think not only did they cry out, but they shrieked. I mean, they were scared, terrified. "It's a spirit, it's a ghost." But straightway, verse 27, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." But Peter, it says, notice, "And Peter answered him, and said, Lord, if it be thou," verse 28, "if it be thou, Lord, if it's you, bid me come." If it's you out there in the darkness, bid me come. "Bid me come unto thee on the water." Not in the water, but on the water. And notice it says in verse 29, "And he said, come." One word, come. "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I love that picture. I think it was Sight and Sound Theater last year up in Pennsylvania, when they did the life of Jesus. And the promotional artwork on that was just a picture of a hand clasping another hand going under the water. Remember that? I just think that's so descriptive. It's a rescue. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And when they were come into the ship, verse 32, the wind ceased. And verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd bless the reading and preaching of your word today. Give us understanding. Give us unction. Speak to our hearts. Save sinners. Stir the saints. Revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, finding Jesus in the storm. The fact that they didn't recognize Jesus in the storm doesn't mean that he was not there. The fact that it was dark, the wind was blowing, the waves were breaking over the side of the ship, it didn't change one thing. Jesus was there, and he came to them. Now notice the story. It was after a great victory. Jesus had fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Probably with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and this miracle was mentioned in all 4 Gospels, probably fed 25,000 people, conservatively speaking, with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Only the Lord can do that. I'm praying with inflation and everything like that, he'll do that with my 5 loaves and 2 fishes this year. Amen. I think we'll work till about October, November to pay taxes, then we'll live on the last 30 days. That's about where we're at. But let's move on. But notice here, he had fed 5,000 men plus women and children. God had done a remarkable miracle. And he moves right on from that. It says straightway, verse 22, straightway. He moved away from that. Now, if that would have happened to me, I would have gone on a book tour. I'd done seminars. I'd have been telling people how I fed 5,000 with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I'd have done all the talk show circuits and all of that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't have time for that. He was not promoting anything that man had done. He was promoting what God had done. And he moved on to the next miracle. He moved on with his ministry. By the way, he only had 3.5 years. And he knew that he had to get on quickly with the work of the Lord. So he sent the multitudes. Notice the how the Bible is so connected here in the King James Bible. It's what I love about it. One thing I love about it, Jesus, after that great victory, felt the need to pray. He felt the need to pray. Straightway, Jesus, he wasn't thumping his chest. He felt the need to pray. After he'd poured himself into these miracles and done all of that, he felt the need to pray. He felt the need. Maybe, perhaps, Jesus pulled aside and found a place apart on the mountain just to praise God for what he'd done there. Sometimes we get caught up in how many people were fed. I wonder how many people got saved that day. Notice here the parallelism in verse 22. It says, he sent, first of all, the multitudes away. He sent the multitudes away. You might say, well, I thought Jesus was a friend of sinners. I thought Jesus loved people. He did, but he felt like he needed to refuel and refire and revive and refresh himself. And so he sent the multitudes. First of all, he sent them away. Notice that. He sent them away. And then notice in verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart. So he got away, but not only did he get away from the multitudes, but he got apart, and he got apart not just to relax and take a nap, he got apart to pray. There was a purpose in his getting away. Someone said, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. Our Lord even took time to rest. Our Lord even took time to get away from the multitudes, and he came apart, but he came apart to pray. So it says he sent the multitudes away. He came apart in verse 23, but notice this, the latter part of verse 23, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Do you see a theme here? Jesus said, I need to be alone. I need to be apart. I need to be away. And so do we. So do we. We need to be apart. We need to be away. We need to be alone that we might hear God speak. You know, a lot of times we're not listening to God speak. There's so much noise pollution that we allow to get our attention. And so Jesus found a part a place apart, alone, away, that he might meet with God. And I guess what you could put in there, if you're going to insert a word, you could say, and meanwhile, after he had constrained the disciples to get into the boat, he said, I want you to get into the boat. They start out across the Sea of Galilee, and they get in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it was too far to get to the other side in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm, and it was too far to go back. They were in the midst, they were in the middle of the sea. Well, if you ever go to the Holy Land, you'll enjoy that as much as anything. To go out on the Sea of Galilee and to have a service out there, and I get glory bumps thinking about it. And, you know, there are places that when you go, you don't know for sure if the Lord was here or not. But when you get out on the Sea of Galilee, there's only one Sea of Galilee, and you know that the Lord had been there. And the way it lays there, you could see how a storm could blow up quickly. You that fish up on Lake Erie and places like that, you've seen storms come. Some of you fish some of the larger lakes up in Canada. You know when those storms whip up, I mean, it can be scary. And these were seasoned fishermen. They'd seen storms before. And the Bible says Jesus had constrained them to get into the ship while he sent the multitudes away. And he found a place apart to pray. And the evening was come. He was there alone. But look in verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And it was also, you know, Jesus is having a wonderful time with his heavenly Father. He's praying. He's thanking God for his blessings. Oh, God, refill me, refuel me as I go to preach again. God, use me. Oh, heavenly Father, bless me. Use me. Help me to glorify you. But the ship is down here in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm. Meanwhile, I want to point out four, I think, major points in this story. And I think they're pretty obvious, but I think it's good for us to revisit the obvious. In the midst of the storm, it says, but the ship, while he was up there praying, he had not forgotten them. It's a great thing about our Lord. While he was praying, while he was seeking God, I imagine he was praying for them. He knew the storm was coming. He knew their weaknesses. He knew their fears. He knew their strengths. He knew who needed to shore up and build up and bolster their faith. He knew all about that. And I'm sure while he was apart and alone away, he was praying for them. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for me and you. And it's good to know our Lord prays for us every day, eternally. Let me give you some thoughts here today. First of all, finding Jesus in the storm. Notice this. In verse 24, they were tossed with waves and wind. Look at verse 24. But the ship. Jesus was praying. But the ship, verse 24, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. They were tossed with winds, and they were tossed with waves. Remember, he had constrained them to get into the ship. While he was up there praying, the wind blew in and the storm blew in, and he knew they were there and he knew what was going to happen, but they, in the midst of the storm, were tossed with winds and waves. There are times in life we get that way. We're tossed around. We're tossed around with waves and wind. And it's amazing what waves and wind can do. It's amazing what water can do, what water can move, and what waves can do, and what wind can do. They were in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the sea. And may I say, figuratively speaking, you and I sometimes are tossed with the waves and the wind of the life. The waves are coming against us. The problems, the sicknesses. So many times, you know, we emphasize the sickness, the virus, and all of these things. And we should. We pray for so many that are sick, but you know, there are just a lot of things that people are facing. The devil throws at us. Many of these things God allows Their father filtered. God allows these waves and God allows the wind. I often think of Job, and the Bible says there was a day that a great wind from the wilderness visited him. It blew everything he had to the ground. That great wind from the wilderness. One day, one moment, one hour can change your life. A great wind from the wilderness can come. And that was in the Father's will. Job was a man who eschewed evil and loved God. And God sent a wind in there that blew his houses down. The Serbians came, stole his cattle, stole his sheep, stole his livestock, killed his 10 children. He lost everything he had, sat down in the ash heap and said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. God sent the wind. God sent the wind. And in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the sea, Jesus is still there. Jesus is still advocating for us in the midst of the storm. 1 Peter chapter 5, keep your finger there, but in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while. After the waves have beat on you a while, after the wind has pummeled you for a while. You ever been someplace where the wind never quits? I mean, after a time, when you first go there, you say, well, this is really unique. But after it beats on you a while, it gets old. There are places that the wind never stops blowing. And you might say, preacher, that's my life. The wind of trouble and tribulation and trials never stop. It never stops. God said, after you've suffered a while, 1 Peter 5:10, God said, I want to make you perfect. I want to make you mature. I want to make you strong. And he mentions three things here. I want to make you perfect. I want to establish you, strengthen you. I want to settle you. I want to establish you. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, I want to establish you in your faith. Why does God bring the storm? To establish you in your faith. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. I wish the charismatics would read that. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He says, I want to establish you in your faith. But secondly, he said, I want to strengthen you for the fight. I want to strengthen you for the fight. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He's glorified. He says, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the storm, God wants to strengthen you in the fight. God wants you to settle you in your faith. Then thirdly, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, He wants to strengthen you in the fight, establish you in your faith, but He wants to settle you when you fear. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober when you're fearful. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, when you're fearful, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. He wants to settle you when you fear. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, nothing ever comes your way that someone else has not faced somewhere along the line and gotten through it with God's help. They were tossed with waves and wind in the midst of the sea. In the midst of the sea, God wants to establish your faith, strengthen you for the fight, settle you when you fear. God has a reason for the waves. He has a reason for the wind. But secondly, notice back here in Luke chapter 14, I hope you're at least there with me, Luke chapter 14, or Matthew chapter 14, thank you for that. I'm not there either. But Matthew chapter 14, and verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. You want to find Jesus in the storm? They were tossed with waves and wind. But secondly, they were terrified by the watch. terrified by the watch. You say, what's the fourth watch of the night? The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. They were terrified of the watch. Anybody ever been scared of the dark? I know these guys up here are. Their sisters told me that. Scared of the dark. There's something about the darkness that's scary. There's something about the darkness that makes us fearful. But Jesus came to them in the darkness. They were terrified in the watch. Look at verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And they were terrified about that. Why? They said, it's a ghost. Even though they were saved, they had some superstitions, fears, carnality. I remember growing up, sitting around the campfire camping, hearing my grandparents and uncles and folks talking about ghosts. My grandpa talked about ghosts. He'd seen lights out on the railroad late at night. I remember coal miners talking about things they'd see back in the mines, lights in the mines they couldn't describe, I remember grandma talk about how that gate there in Gassaway at that old house and at certain times of the night you'd hear that gate open and creak and they'd chain it shut and it would still open and shut. I don't know if they believe that, if they're just trying to scare us to death. My brother and I, so we go to bed. We'd be sitting there thinking, wonder if those ghosts moved down here to Frametown. You know, did they stay up in the house at Gassaway? I hope they did. They were scared of ghosts. They were terrified by the watch. They were terrified from 3 to 6 in the morning. You know, the 3 to 6 in the morning can be terrifying or it can be triumphant. You can triumph in the darkness or you can be terrified in the dark. You can find God in the fourth watch of the night. You can find God when others don't see Him. May I remind you that what Jesus said about being the light of the world, He said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. He said, this is the condemnation, that light is coming in the world, and men love darkness rather than light. The whole world was lost in darkness and sin. The light of the world's Jesus. They were terrified by the watch. Look for him in your darkest hour. Light always dispels darkness. One thing about darkness, it can be gripping. Darkness can cast fear upon you. Now, I'm not just talking about darkness, but I'm talking about the dark days of life and the trials and the valleys of life. But I want you to know just one match lit in the darkness can change it all. By the way, you ought to be that match. You ought to be that light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. They were tossed with waves and wind. They were terrified by the watch. But thirdly, notice this, finding Jesus in the storm, they were troubled. They were troubled by his walk. Notice in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. They cried. It's a ghost. They cried out for fear. By the way, it only took one of them to cry out. Then they all piled on. I wonder if one of them had said, it's Jesus. You got that crowd mentality. One of them said, oh, it's bad. Boat's leaking. We're all going to die. Where's Jesus? God doesn't love us. It's dark. We're wet. We're never going to make it. They couldn't see clearly. They cried out for fear. It only took one of them to cry fire, and all of a sudden they're all ready to jump ship. But Peter was ready to jump ship to go to him. They were troubled by his walk. They couldn't see clearly. You know what God wants us to do? When you can't see clearly, keep looking. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. There are things that happen in life. There are storms that come in life. We don't see clearly. And as your pastor, there are times over these last 22 and a half years, I've walked away from families and gravesides and funerals and hospitals, shaking my head. And I'll be honest with you, saying to the Lord, Lord, you're God, Romans 8:28. I don't understand it, though. I just want to be honest. You're probably more spiritual than that. But there have been times I've shook my head and I said, Lord, I sure don't understand this. But dear God, I'm your ambassador and I'm going to try to do my best to make you look good. You don't need me to make you look good, but I'm going to advocate for you. There are times we can't see clearly, but he said this, keep on looking, keep looking, keep looking. Mark chapter 8, the blind man says in verse 22, Mark chapter 8, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, led him out of that place that he'd cursed, place of unbelief. He'd spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught or if he saw anything. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Some of us would have walked away and said, well, you don't have enough faith. Jesus said, keep looking. There are times we look, we see through a glass darkly, we see men as trees walking. Not very clear, but we see something there. We know God's there. They looked out across that water. The waves were beating over the ship. It was dark. The fourth watch of the night. It was loud. The wind was blowing. Everybody was screaming. Everybody was hollering and everything. And Peter just kept looking. He kept looking. He kept looking. The others were hanging their head. They'd lost hope. But Jesus was looking for somebody that was looking for him. But in Mark chapter 8, verse 21, he said, I see men as trees. I do see men as trees. At least he was looking. Those that are looking will see something. You say, well, that's not very good. Yeah, but keep looking. God will bring everything into focus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That blesses my heart. But look at verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes in Mark chapter 8 and made him look up. He was restored and saw every man clearly. Keep looking. Keep looking in the storm. Keep looking when the waves are breaking. Keep looking when you're terrified. Keep looking when the waves and the wind are tossed over your life. And you might say, it's a ghost. I'm scared. But he was willing, Peter was, to see. God allowed him to see because he kept looking. You say, his faith is pretty weak. Well, his faith got him out of the boat. I know y'all just think about the snowstorm today. I'm telling you, his faith got him out of the boat. I said his faith got him out of the boat in the midst of a storm. Like Sammy Allen used to say, hey, don't get excited. We're just going to heaven. They were troubled by his walk. It's a spirit. But Peter kept looking. Number four, they were touched by his word. They hung in there. Well, actually, they had nowhere else to go. Unless you jump into the water. Too far from shore to swim. Sink or swim. But notice what happened. Look over in Luke chapter, or Matthew. I ought to preach from Luke. I'm there a lot. But look in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It's I, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. They were touched by his word. They were troubled by his presence, but they were touched by his word. He spoke unto them. But who answered? Peter did. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. That sounds exactly like what Peter would say. Sounds just like Peter. I mean, he's going to go big or go home. He went big. He went big. He said, Lord, if it's you, I think it's you. I see men as trees walking. I see you in the midst of the storm. It looks like you. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And all he had to hear him say was, come. Later, remember this? Later, he would hear him after his resurrection, after his denial. And he'd say, come and dine. I've got some fish for you. And John said, Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter bailed out and swam to the shore. Maybe reminded about this night. Come. Anyone could come. But Peter was the one that was looking. Peter was the one who had faith to believe that it was Jesus. Find him in your storm. That's what I'm saying. We're all tossed with the waves and the winds of life. We're all terrified by the watch. We've not gone this way before. But in John 3, when it says light, literally it means the light's come. They were troubled by his walk. They were touched by his word. Come, Peter. Anyone could have done the same thing. And it says here in Matthew chapter 14, come. And look at verse 29. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Was the wind still blowing? Yes. Were the waves still cracking over the side of the ship? Yes. Were people still screaming? Probably. And I can see Peter as he throws his leg over the side of the boat. As he throws his leg over the side of the boat, Thomas is saying, I don't know, Peter. I don't know about this. You're going to drown. Peter said, look, sink or swim, I'm going with Jesus. John said, are they going to take pictures of this? I'd like to get my picture made. Can I have my picture made? You know. Nathaniel, yeah, I mean, all of these were in the boat. But Peter got out. Say what you would about his faith. He steps out of the boat and makes his way toward the Son of God on the water. On the water. I don't know how many steps he took. If he took one step, if he stepped out of the boat and went right to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, I'd still have to pat him on the back and say, God bless you. But he didn't go. He did not go to the bottom. The Lord always rescues those that put their faith and trust in him. He always rescues those who leave the safety of the ship. When he saw the wind boisterous, though, it says he was afraid, verse 30, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. I probably didn't read that right. I probably should scream it. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Kind of sounds like some coaches I've known. You know, score 40 points. You know, 100 rebounds. Man, you could have done better. I don't think that's what Jesus wasn't scolding him here. He said, oh, ye of little faith. He had some faith, didn't he? To me and you, he had great faith. The fact that he gets out of the boat in the midst of the storm, but he was the one that found Jesus. He was the one that Jesus rescued. He was the one that Jesus chose later to preach on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 get saved. Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I think, and I'll be preaching on this tonight, Acts chapter 27, the Euroclodon. 276 souls, and they were about to bail out in the middle of the storm. And Paul said, unless you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. That old ship of Zion has taken some hits, but it's never sunk. When they were in the ship, they came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Peter already believed that. They believed that, but their faith was bolstered. The Lord rescues. The Lord receives. The Lord redeems those who leave the safety of the ship. Find him in the storm. Find him in the storm. You might be terrified. You don't know what's going on. We do see through a glass darkly. He's our high tower. He sees the end. He is the end from the beginning. Find him in the storm. Find him in the storm. Find him in the storm. He wants to save you in the storm, and then he wants to give you shelter in the time of storm.